Well, greetings this evening to each one of you in Jesus' name. So, have you come with an expectation? I think that's fairly possible that most of us or many of us have come with an expectation. At the beginning of meetings like this, we can have, various expectations, but it's not unusual to have some expectations, or maybe some things we're hoping for and praying for. Maybe we have come with the excitement that we get to meet under a tent. I have a certain amount of anticipation because of past experience with meetings under a tent, which can be a blessing, and yet if we're looking to that, our expectations will probably be disappointed. I don't know how well you know everyone that is going to be sharing. It can be that we have a certain expectation because of knowing someone or having past experience with hearing them or other meetings, and we're expecting some repeat. That could have a benefit, that the same thing is present again, and yet if that's what we're looking to, very likely we're going to be disappointed. So we have an expectation. Where do we turn to have that expectation filled? Someone have a thought? Turn to the Lord Jesus. Amen. That means we lift our eyes up to heaven. And we look at the Lord Jesus. And then there's something else that is going to need to come in focus along with Jesus if we're going to indeed have revival meetings, indeed have God come and move in our hearts and lives. There's something else that needs to come in focus in line with Jesus. Any thoughts what that may be? Self. Me. Me. If we have an expectation, I hope we have one, but if we've come here with an expectation this evening of meeting with God, then we need to put our eyes on the Lord Jesus and let Him show us who we are. And we will have a blessed time of meetings here, meeting with God. The good news is that God has sent His Son, the Lord Jesus, and He's made a way for us to be right with Him in every way. It's completely open. There's nothing stopping us. The veil has been rent. And the way to the Holy of Holies is open. The blood has been shed. The price for sin has been paid. It's all available. But what it depends upon is us. That's what it depends upon. I'd like to see if I can just write the title up here. My handwriting is not as good as some people. Breaking up our fallow ground. And the heart or burden of the message tonight goes in the direction of us dealing with our own hearts and our own lives in meeting with God. Us making conscious choices and moves on purpose that draw us closer to God, put us in the way of God, connect us with God's provision for us. Breaking our fallow ground. If you want to, you could turn to Hosea chapter 10. We're going to read verse 12 there, which is the text for the message this evening. This is the prophet Hosea is writing to the children of Israel. They're in a backslidden stage, and he is warning them and admonishing them. But I'd like to just look at Hosea chapter 10, verse 12 this evening in this text. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. That's an active description, going out and actively sowing something that will bring forth righteousness. Reap in mercy. Sow in righteousness, reap in mercy. Then he says, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon the earth. I looked up fallow ground, did a little bit of studying on what fallow ground is. But fallow ground in the Hebrew was simply plowing, that is, freshly plowed land. And as I was understanding fallow ground from the past, I would have understood it as ground that has been set aside, or it hasn't been plowed for some time, and now we need to go break it up again so that it's ready for seed. Soil that has sort of become set up. Now, I might have to just put a disclaimer in right at the start here. If you're a farmer here and you're sold on no-till, I'm going to preach a different theory tonight. And I don't want to be adversity with you when we're done. But in Bible times, they didn't have no-till the way it would seem. So we're going to stick with the examples that are given. But they would go break up this ground again so that it's ready for seed. And by the way, I'm afraid in our day, we like to do our Christianity no-till. Just go out and rip through and put some seed in the ground and spray it and it's done. I like Jesus. And the way the fields look, there's some pretty good fruit for it. But in Christianity, I don't think it turns out quite the same. I don't think it quite turns out the same. This is talking about plowing. It's talking about pulling through hard soil and breaking it up. I don't know if they had plows that made furrows or not, but we think that way today. When we're thinking of plowing soil, we're thinking of laying it over, turning it over, making a furrow, doing it again, and you keep doing it and the whole field gets turned over. And then you cut it up with a disc or something and prepare it for seeding. I did do some searching online, and I'd like to use a few quotes that I got from Sermon Index, and this is a message that Charles Finney had on breaking up our fallow ground. Now, I just want to tell you, I don't know that I agree with everything that Charles Finney teaches, so don't take this and go somewhere with it. But I felt some of this was useful in the message here tonight. First of all, the Jews were a nation of farmers, and it is therefore a common thing in Scripture to refer for illustrations to their occupation and to the scenes with which farmers and shepherds are familiar. And you know that's through the scriptures. So that's what we have here this evening. The prophet Hosea addresses them as a nation of backsliders. He reproves them for their idolatry and threatens them with the judgments of God. Another paragraph, a revival consists of two parts, as it applies to the church and as it applies to the ungodly. And in this particular one, he was saying he's going to speak to the occasion of revival as it applies to the church. Fallow ground is ground which has once been tilled, but which now lies waste and needs to be broken up and mellowed before it is ready to receive grain. I think in that paragraph we have what would be an applicable explanation for revival meetings. One of the goals is that we stir ourselves up again. Are there areas in my life that have gone dormant? Are there areas that are not ready for seed anymore? Are there areas that are not bearing fruit anymore? It's fallow ground and it needs broke up again. If we have that expectation for this week, and we came here to meet the Lord Jesus seeking that, we will have a blessed week. Another paragraph. Instead of keeping your thoughts on everything else, and this is from Charles Finney, instead of keeping your thoughts on everything else and then imagining that by going to a few meetings, you will get your feelings started, or you could say stirred. Then he says, go to the common sense way to work. There's a common sense way that we go to work. As you would on any other subject, it is just as easy to make your minds feel on the subject of religion as it is on any other. God has put these states of mind under your control. If people were as If people were as unphilosophical about moving their limbs as they were about regulating their emotions, you would have never reached this meeting. What is he saying? He is saying we need to engage ourselves. We need to get active. It is so easy that we just sort of sit here and wait on God to somehow invade upon me. God help us. That's right. If we want to meet with God, if we want to break up our fallow ground, then we need to get involved. We need to step forward. We need to make decisions. We need to say, God, I'm putting myself in your way. I'm here to be changed. So many times, we put our hands out and hold God off just as long as we possibly can, and then finally we break through and get free, and it's like, whew, this is such a blessing. Why not just go ahead and engage the thing? Be active about it. Seek after God. Let's go get everything He has for us. Breaking up our fallow ground. If you, and this is again a quote, if you mean to break up the fallow ground of your hearts, you must begin by looking at your hearts. It's like, wow, right on. If we want to break up the fallow ground in our hearts, we need to look at our hearts. Examine and note the state of your minds and see where you are. Many never seem to think about this. They pay no attention to their own hearts and never know whether they are doing well in religion or spiritually or not, whether they are gaining ground or whether they're going backwards, whether they are fruitful or lying waste. Now you must draw off your attention from other things and look into this. That's what revival's about. Stop, take our focus off of other things and take a look at where I am spiritually. Am I where God wants me to be? Make a business of it. Do not be in a hurry. Examine thoroughly the state of your hearts and see where you are. Whether you're walking with God every day or with the devil, whether you're serving God or serving the devil most, whether you're under the dominion of the Prince of Darkness or of the Lord Jesus Christ. End of quote. Soul searching. He's very straightforward. You know, sometimes I think we've gotten too fuzzy. I'm just about cringing as I'm reading blunt statements. But you know, it's true. If we want to get right with God, and we want to be right with God, then we need to address the needs of our hearts. We need to address where we are. We need to spend some time examining. There is such a thing as having an oversensitive conscience. And if you're here tonight and you have one of those, then you divide my message by about four or five, okay? The rest of you might multiply it times two or three. And it'll come out right. We need to break up our fallow ground. We need to get involved. I'd like to use an illustration that goes along with this that came to me this spring as I was at home plowing. And I started thinking about the experience I was having. I started thinking about the experience I had had before in this same spot. We have a field behind our house at home. And about 5 or 6 years ago, we decided we would tackle farming this field ourselves. So we made a decision. We're going to farm this field. We made a decision. We're bringing home a tractor and a two-bottom plow. And we're going to go turn over the field. And we did. But there was a fairly sizable area back sort of on the knoll of our field that when you put the plow through it, there was just a very different experience. Actually, it was not very comfortable. The plow went down about this far, 2 or 3 inches. And there were stones there. Someone else had farmed it before with bigger machinery, and evidently they just sort of ripped through it and did a few things and went on. With our equipment, it was like, this is an experience. There's problems here in this field. We couldn't work the soil. It was hard. Some of these stones were big stones. Some places the soil was just hard enough that it didn't want to give, and yet there were some stones in there, some big stones. And I brought a stone along here tonight, but this is one that's manageable. I was able to load this stone by myself. There are some others that are otherwise. Anyway, we made a decision to work on this field. We have been working on this field every year. We've been doing things like putting cover crops in. We even went as far as planting what they called groundhog radishes. And I don't know if you know what that is or not. I never knew what it was. I talked to the seed guy about what we have going on. And this is a radish that gets about this long. And it gets thick. And you plant it on purpose so that it bores down into the ground, thus aerating it and opening it up. And then in the end, you want it to die and all of that humus to mix in with the soil, and it begins to loosen things up. Rain can get down in, and you get good nutrition into your soil. So we've been doing those kind of things with this soil. We've been working it. Year by year, the plow is slowly going deeper. It's not been a fast process. Most of the field works fine, but this particular area is sort of a problem area. And every year we bring up more stones. We've hit stones big enough that we busted bars. Because it just stopped and banged. This spring, we were plowing 6 and 8 inches deep in this area. But we're still hitting stones. That's why I'm thinking about my experience as we keep going down. We keep hitting stones. Now, thawing and freezing may bring them up some too. But also, there are stones left for next year. I'm already aware of them because of this year's experience. And when you hit stones with a two-bottom plow looking like the one I have here, somehow the furrow does not continue to turn. Things don't continue to plow. Generally, it would hit and pop and come up on top and just ride along. And I'm like, okay, I'm out. I've got an issue. And I can't just back up, drop in the furrow, and go again. There's a stone. I have to deal with it if I want to continue. Do I go on or do I stop? If I stop, I get off. I remove the stone. Sometimes you have to dig them out. Do I have time for that? Darkness is coming. Do I have time not to? Those are the same things we face in our lives and in our hearts. As we look at breaking up the fallow ground, and as I thought of revival meetings, it's like, you know, many of us have been through this, and we've been through this. And we've been through this again. And it's easy for us to say, well, my ground's been broken up. The plow's been through. But what would happen if the plow went 1 or 2 inches deeper this year than it did before? If we're working the soil, and if we're feeding it the proper thing, doing with it what we should be doing, that will happen. It will continue to loosen up. It should get more productive. Now, when you stand at our front door and you look back across the field, everything looks just fine. You would never guess that there's an area back there that becomes an experience when the plow goes through. There's actually some pretty serious bucking going on. When you're plowing, you're very attentive. So what is going on in our hearts, in our lives? You know, if we look at our hearts and see a stone, a big flat stone, and I'm guessing this one was covered with at least 3 or 4 inches of dirt. Our stone might be covered up very nicely. And everything's fine if nobody disturbs it. But it's shallow soil. You plant alfalfa on top of that stone, and for some reason that spot probably won't do very well. Probably the first winter it'll be froze out, and we'll never figure out why. Thus, it becomes unfruitful. It may grow some grass. So what is happening in our hearts and in our lives? Is God wanting to go through and break up the fallow ground and go 2 or 3 inches deeper than last time? So I have a two-sided emphasis here tonight. One would be, if we've gone barren, then this week is a week that we need to make decisions that turn our hearts back to God, bring life back into our souls. Maybe we have been fruitful. Maybe we're continuing on in our faith in our walk with God, but God wants to set the plow an inch or two deeper. The other thing is, if our plow's at 6 and 8 inches next year, which I expect it to be, is what we like to do, there will be more stones that are still there that didn't come out this year. Maybe God's wanting to come through at the same level He did last time and do some more cleanup in our lives. But if that happens, if we break up our fallow ground, we become fruitful for God. Who gets the blessing? Who gets the blessing? We do. We get to be free from God. We are free with God. We get liberated from sin. We can have liberating guidelines in our lives like Brother Mark shared tonight. I like that. It really is liberating. But it will require us to break up the fallow ground. Whether it's gone dormant or whether we need to go a little bit deeper. I'd like you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Our hearts are like a field, and we can decide to plow it. We can decide to break it up. We can decide that it's okay for God to discover what is covered up underneath the soil. In fact, we can pursue God to uncover what is covered up under the soil. That's a heart after God. The heart after God that is saying, Lord, show me. I've been blessed and I want more. We can have that heart. Now, I'd like to, in Matthew chapter 13, look at the parable of the sower. And I don't know that my goal is to go through this like you might have heard it quite some other times, and yet it may be similar. But I'd like to keep in focus breaking up the fallow ground. Here again is an illustration, a parable that is talking about soil and He's applying it to our hearts. And He's wanting us to understand what He's saying. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 through 9. And the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that they went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root. They withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. Who has ears to hear? Let him hear. As we look at the week and a half ahead of us, let's come with hearing ears. Let's come with open hearts. Let's come with seeing eyes. Let's come with a cry, Oh God, show me the needs in my heart and in my life. In fact, I'm thinking in the direction tonight that to encourage us to make a commitment and a resolve, Lord, I am here to change this week. Lord, I'm here to seek after You. Show me the needs in my heart and in my life. Jesus gave this parable in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke, Mark chapter 4 and Luke chapter 8. And in all three of them, he gave the parable, and then he came back and explained. And what I'd like to do is just step through all three of these in that explanation and look at what he says and consider it a little bit. Matthew chapter 13, verse 18 and 19. Well, first of all, we want to look at the wayside, a heart, or the wayside. As you think about the wayside seems like if you have a field here, it's where you drive on the side of the field, and it's all packed down. We call it the field lane today. And as you're if you're cranking seeds or throwing out seeds, you're going to throw some of them over the edge. And I think that's what they would have been doing back there, is throwing seeds. And some of them are going to go over the edge. And they're going to be on the wayside, where it's hard. And he told us the birds of the air come and eat them, because it can't get down in the soil. Now, we have seeding machines today that we can drive right along the wayside and perfectly plant to the last inch right up in the soft soil, and it's all nicely buried. But in this context, some of it flew over. Matthew 13, verse 18 says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catches away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside." Mark chapter 4, verse 15. "And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they have heard, Satan immediately cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." Luke chapter 8, verse 12. "Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." So there's reason to pick up these seeds out of the hard heart. Our adversary, the devil, is looking for any seed that is possibly exposed, and he wants to pick it up. Now, the hard heart or the wayside would be like a hard heart. And you may be here tonight with a hard heart. If you're here tonight and you're putting your hand out and you hope to just sort of endure and get through, and you hope the preachers don't get too hot, I would plead with you to break up the fallow ground in your heart. Because the seed that is coming, the seed that is falling upon your heart, is going to be snatched away and it's going to be gone unless there's a breaking up of the heart, unless there's a softness to receive it. And it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And therefore, I'm here pleading with you the first night that you begin plowing your heart. You on purpose make decisions to break that heart. Don't stiff arm God. Don't clam up inside. Don't shut God out. Don't fight with conviction, the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Open your heart. Break up the fallow ground so the seed can come in and bear fruit. Another thought here with a hard heart would be a strong head. Strong-headedness and a hard heart go together. It's a different way of expressing it. But a strong head and a hard heart, those two go together. I want it my way. Maybe we're even saying, I'm going to have it my way. They're not going to tell me what to do. My friend, if that's what you're saying in your heart, you're the one that's going to suffer, not everybody else. Don't say that. I would plead with you tonight. Don't say that. Rebellion. Rebellion. I don't want to listen. I want to have it my way. Maybe I'll obey halfway. Rebellion is a fruit of a hard heart. Excuse me, I'm sorry. The seed on the wayside gets snatched away by the adversary. Let's break up the fallow ground so he doesn't have any food to eat coming out of this tent. Number two, stony ground. Stony ground, this is also a hard heart. Maybe not in quite the same way, stony ground. Matthew 13, verse 20 and 21. But he that receiveth seed into the stony place is the same as he that heareth the word, and anon he with joy receiveth it. Yet hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word of God, by and by he is offended. Mark chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Luke 8, verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And I'm sure you have heard people talk about revival meetings and all the emotion and the hype that happens at revival meetings, and people make commitments to God and they're all on fire, and 2 months later you're not sure where they are. I think we're talking about stony ground. Sounds like it described it perfectly. With joy, with gladness, it is received. And then it disappears. Anon, after a while, because of the word of God, they're offended. This is a popular Christianity. It's a popular Christianity. Because of the word of God, they're offended after a while. Oh, I don't like what it's saying in here. Surely that's not for me today. Surely we can just spiritualize that. It is important that others think well of me. Oh, that becomes a snare. I believe it's a sign of stony ground when we're giving in to what others think about me above what the Word of God is saying, above what God would have for me. Love excitement. These stony ground folks love excitement. If it's exciting, if it's got some emotion, if it's got some hype, and by the way, I can get emotional if you want, but I believe in good ground Christianity. I think it should light a fire in our hearts, but it needs to have some depth to it. You put a couple inches of dirt on top of this stone and try to put revival into that and have it live a long time, it's not going to happen. We need to break up the fallow ground. We need to go deep enough to get it all out. They like excitement, but don't have commitment. No cross-bearing. Oh, we don't like this thing about cross-bearing. That hurts. That doesn't feel good. Literal and practical application of the scripture is hard. You mean I have to do that? Aren't you just being legalistic? Isn't the heart we want, one that wants to please God? See, in the beginning we were talking about we need to look at our hearts. What's in there? So what is it that makes me want to not be different? What is it that makes me want to be popular? What is it that makes me worry about my friends? What is it that makes me worry about that rather than how can I please God? It's stony ground somewhere. Well, I'll be a misfit. I'll be different than the rest. Maybe that's going to make me a little bit weird. Where's the love for Jesus? Just simple. Where is the love for Jesus? And when we really love Jesus and we really love the Word of God, we'll say, put that plow down, break up the fallow ground, get that big old stone out of my heart. I don't want that thing in there. It's going to ruin me, and it will. It will ruin me. See, a heart that's yielded to God, a heart that's surrendered, is the one that'll have the fire of God in it, the one that'll have true emotions and love for Jesus, and it's Christianity that will work. It's not going to go by just feelings either. It's going to have commitment. There's going to be decisions. There's going to be activity. I'm going this way. I've decided to plow the field. When we decide to plow the field, we hook up the plow to the tractor. We get on the tractor. We start it up. We put it in gear. And we get out there and we put her down and we make a roll. Oh, it's a nice sight. But we need to treat our Christianity the same way, where we get actively involved. Break up the fallow ground. Break up the fallow ground. I need to go on number three, thorny ground. Thorny ground. And I was thinking of what else to call the thorny ground here, and I don't know if I'm completely right, but I had to think of a numb heart. Or a cold heart. A numb heart or a cold heart. Thorny ground. Matthew 13 verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. And he becometh unfruitful. Mark 4 verse 18 and 19. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Luke 8, verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. A self-serving Christianity. A self-serving Christianity. Choked by cares, choked by deceitfulness of riches, choked by the lust of other things entering in, choked by the pleasures of this life. A selfish Christianity. And one of the things you can note about this Christianity that doesn't have a burden for the lost. It's caring about me. It's all about me. We do need to take care of the things here of life. We have responsibilities. But where our focus is so important, is so crucial. We are so busy taking care of our own things. A selfish Christianity doesn't have a burden for the lost. It's about my things, what I'm doing, or maybe what I want to do. And we strive and strive and strive to accomplish this one certain thing in life. How can I have a pleasant, enjoyable life and be comfortable? That strikes pretty close home for us. We have it pretty nice. We have it really nice. Actually, we have it too nice. But there's a need for us to press in this area. It's something I believe we need to constantly address in our lives, that our focus is right, that we not turn our focus on ourselves, that we have a burden for the lost, that we are there to help other people, to minister to other people, to help them and bless them. Or is it about having a fun time, being cool? So what is our life focus? Is it the kingdom of God? Is it the kingdom of God? Or is there a need for to let the plow down and break up the fallow ground and turn over those thorns and turn over those thistles? We relate to thorns and thistles. You go plant your radishes under a thorn bush and you can forget it. It won't grow. It won't grow. But you know, those thorn bushes, as forbidding as they are sometimes not that difficult to remove if we'll just get honest, if we'll just deal with them. This spring, my wife was dismayed with a few thorn bushes, and she was expressing it to me. And I said, well, where are they? I don't think it would take long to remove them. And one of them she watched me remove, and she couldn't believe. You mean that is all you did? How could that happen? In 5 minutes, the whole thing is gone. Well, you just get in underneath. Might need a little bit of protection. Cut that thing off at the stem and out of there. Imagine what Jesus could do with our thorn bushes. He wouldn't even cut them off at the stump. He'd take them out by the roots. If we'll say, put the plow down, let's break up the fallow ground. Lord, dig my heart. I want to be free of this snaring, prickly, unfriendly beast in my life. And we can be free of the thorns. Thorny ground. Number four, good ground. Good ground. Matthew 13, verse 23. And on the good ground, I think we could call this a broken heart, a yielded heart, a humble heart. Matthew 13, verse 23. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Here we see fruit bearing. We see results from the word. Mark 4, verse 20. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. In Matthew, he said they understood it. Now he says they receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Luke 8, 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart. Don't you like that? But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart have heard the word. In an honest and a good heart, hearing the word and receiving it, understanding it. They keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. This is where the blessing lies, receiving the word of God, hearing the word of God, taking it into my heart, and being honest about my heart. Remember, we were talking in the introduction about we need to examine our hearts. We need to be fruit inspectors. We need to be fruit inspectors in our own lives. We need to be fruit inspectors in my heart. What is going on in here? What makes me want the things I want? Honestly, with an honest and a good heart. You know, Brother Munro on his dying bed, there he lay answering the question to several people at least. Munro, Brother Munro, are you ready to die? Is there anything you'd want to talk about? You know, at that point, there is an honesty in a person's life that we have a difficult time imagining here tonight. But we can be that honest. We can be that honest if we choose. The good soil, the good heart is an honest heart. It's an honest and a good heart. And it'll look in here and say, where am I really at before God? Is there wayside? Is there hardness of heart? Is there stony ground? Am I prickly, depending what happens, and it's all thorny? What is my heart? We need to be fruit inspectors of our own lives. We need to break up the fallow ground in our hearts. We need to ask the question, have I yielded my life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, honestly, have I completely yielded my life to the Lord Jesus Christ? What if I don't know when my last breath is, which I don't? But once you're in Brother Munro's shoes, you expect it. Somehow we look at it different. But we don't know when our last breath is. Honestly, have I yielded my heart and life completely to the Lord Jesus Christ? Young people, are you under the authority of your parents? Are you? You will freely know in your heart if you are. But if you're struggling and turning in there as you're answering it, you have your answer. You're not. Fruit inspectors, honest fruit inspectors, that's good soil. Let's break up the fallow ground. Are the fruits of the Spirit coming out of my life? It's so easy for us to give ourselves a passing test. We're always easy on me and hard on the other person. We naturally do that. But what about if we would take that thing and turn it around and have a good and honest heart and just answer the question, do I get prickly? Am I thorny? Do I need to break up my fallow ground? Where am I before God? These are heart issues, heart matters, and they come out, they grow fruits. They grow fruits, but they're not the fruit God is looking for. They're not godliness, they're selfishness. Looking for good fruit are the fruits of the Spirit in my life. Am I literally and practically applying the Word of God to my life? Or am I sidestepping wherever good opportunity would afford me? Or am I just saying, I love the Word of God. I love the Lord Jesus. I want to be pleasing to Him. Therefore, I will obey Him. And I'm searching the Scriptures with an open heart saying, God, show me. And as we look at a set of meetings like this, what a better place to open our hearts, to break the fallow ground, to get out all the stones that are in there. And I could have brought a few small ones along too, because those are good to remove too. You get the tiller in the garden and you have a 6-inch stone, there's an issue. In the field, we'd turn it over and wouldn't know it happened. But in the garden, you know, and it needs removed. God wants to touch those things too. Here's a question for you. Am I bearing fruit in my life? Am I leading other people to Jesus Christ? Am I a fruit-bearing Christian? Am I leading other people to Jesus Christ? In America, we go really easy on this one. But you know, the Gadarene, Jesus cast out the evil spirit out of him. The legions there went into the swines. And he's sitting there in his right mind and he's closed. And when Jesus gets ready to leave, he wants to go with him. What did Jesus tell him? No. You stay right here. And you start going around and telling other people what I've done for you. And when Jesus came back, they were ready to receive him. The lady that touched the hem of his garment That was when he came back. Jairus' daughter being raised from the dead, that was when he came back. And other things. Because that man went and shared what Jesus has done for him. Are we bearing fruit? Are we opening our mouth and sharing with other people what Jesus has done for me? We're looking for good soil. Am I influencing other people to obey the Word of God and to get born again? Am I influencing other people to obey the Word of God and to get born again? And I'll just admit with you, it's a little scary sometimes. Just the other evening at New Destiny, started a conversation with a man, and I right away realized he's talking about having a lady friend, and he's talking about having children, and there's probably a wife. And I'm like, what am I going to do? And I knew I can't but share the Word of God with him. And we went from one scripture to the next and read the Bible. This is what the Bible says. And except going back to your wife is adultery. And it's God's will that you be joined together with her again, like 1 Corinthians 7 says. And on we went. And sometimes he's blaming others, and the next time he says, you know I have to deal with my own heart. And when we were done, he was like a friend. But I had told him the whole truth. And it's not popular today, but we still need to do it. We need to say the whole truth unashamedly. But I identify with you. If you shrink a little bit sometimes, I do that too. But let's take courage and step forward anyway, even if my heart is shrinking. God is there to help us. He said he would fill our mouth. And the more we do it, the easier it gets. So number five, I would like to look at choosing a heart that is good ground. Choosing a heart that is good ground. Luke chapter 20, verse 17. I'd like to read several verses here. And he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Luke 20, verse 18. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So he's saying, we need to choose to fall upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we reject the Lord Jesus Christ and we're not willing to come and fall upon him, there's a day at judgment day that we're going to be judged, and it's going to be like grinding us to powder. I was tempted to bring a hard plywood or something and a nice little sandstone and have a couple people pick this stone up and drop it. And very likely that sandstone is going to go because it's way softer than this shale is. That's judgment, grinding us to powder. But today he's saying we can come to the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can fall upon him and be broken, and we don't have to be ground to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he'd spoken this parable against them. And if we're here perceiving that this parable is spoken against us, I have an answer for us. Let's come and fall upon the rock, the Lord Jesus. There's answers. There's hope. There can be life, eternal life. We need to choose. We need to choose. We need to take action. We need to make decisions that affect our eternity. We need to choose the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to choose to fall on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to take action, get out of our seat. We need to make decisions. I am going the right way with God instead of halting between two opinions. We need to surrender and yield our will and our way, breaking our will and our hearts at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And if we don't sense conviction in our heart, but we know we have a need, we need to make a move. We need to make a move and say, God, have mercy on me. I need you, Lord. I don't even have the conviction of the Holy Ghost. We get desperate with God, and God will come. God will come. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, neither does he turn any away. We need to give up our desires, my desires. We need to give up my desires and give them to Jesus. Instead of living for ourselves, we need to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear God, help us. We can live this way. We can live this way. Turn with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, going to start in verse 1. And read through verse 11. James chapter 4, verse 1. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Doesn't that sound familiar? Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Did you understand here that the people he's calling adulterers and adulteresses are the friends of the world? In the Old Testament, in the prophets, you'll read many times where it's calling them adulterers and adulteresses, or it's calling Israel an adulteress because she's going after other gods. Now, God hates the moral act, but he's looking at the spiritual problem here. The love of the world is enmity with God, and he's calling it an adultery with him. Verse 5, do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? The scripture says our hearts are bent to do evil. It says that. God understands that. And he is offering us solutions. And he's saying, will you take my answers? Will you take the Lord Jesus? Will you come and bow your heart? Will you give up your life? And I'll set you free of it. Verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he says, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Now he goes into a whole list of things for us to do, with the first one being submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. If you don't do anything else tonight, you know you have a need in your heart. You know you have a need in your life. You're wanting God to move in your heart this next week and a half. If you don't do anything else, say, Lord, I'm submitting myself to you. I want you to speak to me. I want to meet with you and get everything out of these meetings that you have for me. If we have that kind of heart, you know, God is an amazing God. He will lay burdens on preachers' hearts that you'll wonder, where did all that come from? They'll wonder where it all came from. But God is looking at a need, and he is in love saying, I'm going to meet that need. And he comes right out and meets that need. And everybody else wonders what's going on. And God is just doing his work by the power of the Holy Ghost. And it's a blessing to be in a place like that. So if you don't do anything else tonight but say, Lord, I'm submitting myself to you. Do that one. Do that one. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. There's a confrontational line. The clear line needs drawn, submitting ourselves to God and resist the devil. None of this pussyfooting around, and I'm just, well, I don't have enough strength to resist him. When I hit the first stone in the field, I guess we can't plow anymore. We don't do that. I got to deal with this issue, and I'm going to go on plowing. We need to deal with our faith in the Lord Jesus and our walk with the Lord Jesus the same as we do the rest of life. It's not difficult. It's not mysterious in a way. It's a matter of whether we apply our hearts or not. And a clear line needs drawn, submitting ourselves to God and resisting the devil uncompromisingly. Resisting the devil. I am not going there. And I am going to follow the Lord Jesus. I'm submitting myself to God. I need to go on. Draw nigh to God. Number three is draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. If there's needs in our lives we know about, we need to get serious about them. We need to travail over them. And there is such a thing as people travailing for a specific soul and travailing unto birth for them. But there's a place that we can personally travail for ourselves. And I believe that's what he's talking about here. Break up the fallow ground in your own heart. Travail before God. Get desperate before God. Get earnest. Go ahead and cry out to God. Go ahead and quit eating. Go ahead and get desperate and cry that the Lord would have mercy on you. And I'll tell you, God will open heaven upon your heart and soul. God is no respecter of person, and he's done it many times for other people. So he'll do it again. He'll do it again. In fact, the angels will rejoice the day your heart clears with God. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. That lighthearted giddiness, you just take and pitch it. That silliness and the foolishness, just take it and throw it in the cornfield or the trash can over the abyss, whichever. But get rid of it and get serious with God. Get serious with God. I'm going to go about breaking up the fallow ground in my heart. I want to be right with God. I want soil that seeds can fall into and can sprout forth and bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Break up the fallow ground. Our hearts may look really good on the outside. They may look really good on the surface, but 2, 3, 4 inches down, maybe 6 inches down, is a very hard stone maybe. God wants to take those things out. And he's saying, let's break up the fallow ground. As we look at this next 10 days to 12 days, let's turn our hearts to God. Break up the fallow ground. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Isaiah 57:15, for thus says the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I will dwell in the high and holy place, and this God, his name is holy, will dwell in the high and holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Ah, isn't that a blessing? God, Almighty God, great big Almighty God, Creator God, wants to come and dwell with him that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. God wants to come and dwell in our hearts and dwell in our spirits and affect our whole being. He wants to do that. But I think he's saying, let's break up the fallow ground. Let's break up the hearts. Let's take those hard areas and open them up and say, dear God, would you come and speak to me through these meetings? I would like to give an invitation yet. And I think I'd like to give a twofold invitation. One of them being, if you're here tonight and you're saying, I need to do business with God. I need to get right with God. I know it. And I need to go cry out to God that he have mercy on me. And you need someone to pray with you. You respond to the invitation. Secondly, if you're here and you're sincerely saying, dear God, through these meetings, I want you to move in my heart. I want you to move in my life. I'm making a commitment that I'm going to obey your voice when you speak to me. I'm going to be seeking your face to get the stones out of my heart that I don't maybe even know are there. Maybe we are aware of them. I'm going to open it for you to respond as well. And it may be good to just have some time where we can just pray here for those. I'll let Mark decide how to sort that out. For those that need prayer, special prayer, that you can step aside. But the rest, maybe we can just have a calling on God. Lord, come meet with us. We can't lean on past experience. We can't lean on the preacher. It's a matter of whether we see the Lord Jesus Christ and how I look myself with what he wants for me. Like to pray yet, and then after that, Brother Joel, could we sing number 99 again? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Let's all rise. You've been sitting a long time. Shall we pray? Dear God, we're at the beginning of these meetings with anticipation, and we look to you as we look at the days ahead. And God, as we come here, we realize that we've come here for you to speak to our hearts, to guide our lives. Lord, change us. Make us more into your image. Lord God, we pray you would break up the fallow ground in our lives. Show us what lies beneath the surface. Lord, we pray you'd show us some things we haven't seen before through these meetings. And God, we pray also those things we know are there that we haven't dealt with yet. Give us the grace, dear God, to take action, to make decisions, and to step forward and to deal with those things, yielding our hearts and lives to you. Tonight specifically, we pray, help us that we can submit ourselves to you and resist the devil. In Jesus' name, dear God, we ask you for every soul in this place, for your kingdom to be completely free from sin and self. Lord, watch over us here this evening as we respond to just answering your call in each one of our lives. Give us honesty. Give us good hearts, dear God. Bless each one of these dear people. Pray for your grace upon each one of our lives. Be with us now as we sing this song and help us to just obey you and walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. No.